I'm Bill Ryan, and I'm the author of the Serpo.org website, which went online in the middle of November 2005. And one of the features of the website was a contact form in which I encouraged visitors to the website to contact me with any information, comments, thoughts, questions that they might want to have. And of course, my original intention was to encourage a dialogue about Serpo itself. But right from the start, I was aware of the possibility that people might get in touch to talk about anything else, which of course I welcomed. And one such here is a man who I'm talking to. It's a very great pleasure. I'm not going to identify him for obvious reasons. And he has a very interesting story to tell about his personal interaction with relics and documents and artifacts and films from a whole series of alien encounters, starting off with Roswell in 1947. And it became very clear that after this man contacted me, just saying that he had an interesting story to tell and told me one or two little details about that, I picked up that ball, recognizing that there's something here of some considerable importance. This has got nothing to do with the Serpo story, but it should be something that's of considerable interest to every serious student of ufology. And I wonder if I could just ask you to summarize your story just in a couple of sentences, just so the viewers here will get an idea of why it was that I immediately seized on what you had to say and saw that it was important.
Well, I had my original contact had been that I had seen nothing in my experience that had to do with the Serpo story, but that I had other information. And what that information was that I spent 6 months at an aerospace company. I'm not a military person. I never was in the military. I spent 6 months archiving and filing artifacts, videos, films, pictures, and documents having to do with the government's involvement in UFO projects, research, and that sort of stuff.
And this was in which year? In the 1980s?
This was, yeah, 84, 85.
All right. And what did your job exactly entail, and what kind of material did you find yourself holding in your hands during that time?
Well, I was pretty much a file clerk with a security clearance. And I was brought items each day, and sometimes they were to be divided up into different branches of service. Sometimes they were to be divided up in classifications. Sometimes they were to be divided up as to what the content was inside them. Most of them were sealed. But there were artifacts from crash ships. There were discs from crash ships. There were mostly pictures and documents from the U.S. government and all branches of the government, and also from aerospace companies.
Could you tell us what kinds of stamps these documents contain?
What kind of stamps? Classification stamps, top secret, secret eyes only, secret code word. A lot of them were only to be opened by authorized personnel. I mean, I worked in documentation, so I knew the markings on documents, and I knew what I should have been able to see and in my regular line of work, and what, you know, things that were marked incorrectly, I had to mark also correctly. So I was involved in that sort of stuff in my work. A lot of them were military that were not marked with any classifications whatsoever, which to me was kind of odd, but that's the way part of them were. They were just sealed envelopes with no markings whatsoever.
And what caught your eye the first time you came across this information that actually sort of turned your head?
It is something that I had believed in for quite a long time, and to be able to actually see proof to me was probably one of the best things that has ever happened to me. That's the way I felt about it.
I can really imagine this. How old were you approximately? I mean, were you in your 20s
or
your 30s?
In my 20s.
And since you started to come out with this information, one or two people have called you Roswell Man. Is this just because of... I mean, was this material just from the Roswell crash, or was it from other, let's say, interactions and time periods also?
Oh, yeah. It was material for the lack of, the quest for, and the gathering of knowledge to do with doing with extraterrestrials and vehicle crashes and recoveries and equipment recoveries, that sort of stuff. All kinds of.
So, in fact, it was a whole cross-section of government-alien interaction between 1947 and the early 1980s.
Well, the present days, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Now, you mentioned that you noticed there were a number of crashes, and you actually told us a number. Can you tell me what was that number of crashes that's happened over the years?
It's over 50.
Over 50 crashes on American soil?
American and abroad.
And abroad.
And these were documented?
These were documented crashes, over 50 crashes.
Do you have any idea of the number of different alien species that were involved in these crashes?
No, that's knowledge that I can't remember or can't recall, but I do remember coming across at least 5 different types.
And did you see photographs of these beings?
I think 4 I did, 4 different kinds.
You saw photographs of 4 different beings.
And could you describe them?
Well, there was, my favorites always were the tall orange ones, which in documentation it was stated that they were the creators of what we call the grays, the common gray aliens with kind of the pointed chin. The orange ones were taller, thinner, had a more round face, but still had the large eyes. Those were the two most prevalent. There was also another race that were almost like the grays, but maybe a little bit more pale and a little bit more stocky, but the same type of size. Like almost cousins to grays, almost. And then there was talk and pictures of beings that looked just like you and I, only had light skin, sort of like Mr. Ray in here with the blue eyes and lighter hair, though.
And those are the Nordic types.
Those are the Nordic types.
Those are the Nordic types.
Those were the ones that, from what I've been reading on the internet, and I never read documentation of this, that offered to save us if we disarmed our nuclear weapons and that sort of thing.
Okay. But you never saw any documentation
about that
interaction?
No, I did not.
All right. Okay.
Was there documentation about the purpose behind the visitors? In other words, why they were here?
Yes, there was. It was it had to do with them fearing our nuclear capabilities and both destroying ourselves and maybe other species out in space because we were getting awful close to space travel at that time.
And was this a hypothesis from the government, or was this something that you read in the documentation as something that was definitively known?
This was definitively known through contact.
Through contact.
Through contact.
Did they explain how they communicated with the aliens in this documentation?
Most of it was telepathic.
Telepathic?
Yes.
Did they reference remote viewing or how, you know, the humans were conducting that?
Do you mean telepathic in a person-to-person sense?
Correct. Correct. Okay. In being to human telepathically, okay. Where they could sit there across, like you and I are sitting, and I would just have to look at you and you'd know what I want, and we'd be communicating through our minds, that sort of stuff.
Did you have any kind of, any sense of how many of those beings were, let's say, active guests of the American government in such a way that communication like that was possible? Was it just one or two?
Personally, probably maybe 5 to 10, but it, as far as my knowledge, I think there was way more.
Okay.
In my opinion.
But your documentation reflected 5 or 10.
What I saw was, what I came across looking at documents was evidence of 5 to 10.
Okay. What else did these aliens reveal about themselves in this ongoing dialogue with the American government?
Well, they claim to have been that we are descendants of them, that we were actually put here on Earth from their genetic material, that we were genetically engineered and put here, and that we were one of their life creations. That was the one major thing that I read. Also, they also claimed that they were the ones that were responsible for putting Jesus Christ on this earth to teach us spirituality and to get us to evolve past the greed and what the Bible calls sin. I think it's just, I really don't know what it is. I just know that there's a human condition that causes us to want to preserve ourselves, and it causes greed and life survival skills and that sort of stuff.
And was that specifically mentioned in the documentation?
It was alluded to.
It was alluded to.
I wouldn't say that it was specifically spelled out that way, but it was alluded
to. What was alluded to? Could you, like, reiterate what was alluded to as opposed to what was said?
The teaching of humankind to evolve to a higher plane, to where we would realize that we're all one species and we're of the same material, both energy and physical, and there's no need to fight wars with one another, and there's no need to have currency, and I mean, it's that sort of earthly stuff that we kind of pride ourselves on and get our identity from, because according to them, they don't have that. They don't see their bodies like we see ours. It's not a possession to them. It's a vehicle. Written documents, photographs.
What would the photographs contain pictures of?
Biological entities, ships, mostly flying ships, and a lot of them from far away, but some good reports and sightings from that were labeled Apollo and the space shuttle missions and space shuttle missions, too.
Okay.
Photographs from the space shuttle missions?
Yes, and older photographs, black and white, grainy. Older photographs from
Are there any particular photographs that come to mind that really stuck in your mind that you remember all these years?
Well, what I'd said in the other interview that I conducted was what got to me the most at first was that I saw pictures, and this was labeled Hawaii with a typewriter, so they were pretty old pictures, they were black and white, of a ship entering or going into the water and seeing no splash.
Okay.
Of a craft, a saucer-shaped craft, and all I could see on it was lights, and it wasn't blurry at all. It was a pretty good photograph.
From what kind of range?
I'd say probably 500 or 600 yards, maybe a quarter of a mile away.
Okay.
So on an 8x10, the disc was like 2 inches, 2.5 inches. It was a pretty good shot.
Okay. And that left a real mark on you when you
yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, wait a minute, because I'd never thought about that aspect of extraterrestrials, that they would even think to enter the water. I wouldn't think, or later on thinking about it, it's like maybe that's where they came out of.
Well, water is just another fluid.
Right.
Water, air, it doesn't matter, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just more dense than air.
Just going back to the aliens themselves, was there any documentation about where these guys came from?
The only documentation I saw jibes with the Serpo story about Zeta Reticuli.
Zeta Reticuli. All right. And no mention of any other star system or...
No.
Or source. Okay. And was there anything there that could be interpreted as being threatening to the human race or to individuals? For instance, was there anything there about abductions or about... complicity with any kind of control scenario over the population?
Nothing whatsoever.
What about alien technology? Was there any indication that we were getting technological ideas from them?
There was documentation on receiving items but not getting any manuals, that sort of stuff.
Where we had to reverse.
Like, here it is, look at it and check it out, and this is what it does, and here it is.
Okay. Any recollection there about in what realm that technology, anything? I mean, are we talking about power sources?
All I can remember, power
energy
source,
devices?
I remember power source, but more communication.
Communication devices.
Yeah.
What do you recall about that?
And no weapons that I remember at all.
No weapons.
Nothing about weaponry. Yeah, they didn't... We were supplied no weapons.
What do you recall about the communication devices? Are you talking about...
Not a lot, just that there were people assigned to try to figure out how this thing works.
Okay.
Not any information about what it did.
Okay.
Or how far it reached.
What did you learn about the... at the risk of using the word in the incorrect context, the spiritual context of these aliens? Did you learn anything about the way that they related to whether they had a spirit or a soul as opposed to just being mechanical entities?
Yes, no, they definitely had communicated to us that they were spiritual like we were. So they had likened us to them, or them to us, in whatever context. And they talked about recycling their bodies and not their bodies. They didn't look at their bodies as a possession. They looked at their bodies as a transportation device to get their soul from one place to another, or to house their soul. It wasn't a sacred possession like it is here on Earth with humanity.
A little bit like the driver of a car.
Yeah.
And then when the car got worn out.
Yeah, but a car that I would liken it to a driver of a car, but everybody has exactly the same car, and there's an endless supply of them.
Okay.
So you don't have to pay for it. You don't own it. It's not special. It's just there.
What would happen to these guys when their bodies died?
They would just get a new one.
They didn't lose their memories, is that right?
Yes, they didn't have death like we did. They did not forget. They knew before their body was going to die, and they just went ahead and got a new one. And
this continued?
Their body pretty much was gone after they left. So, yeah. And it continued. And this was, for them, anywhere from 200 to 400 years.
200 to 400 years would be the duration of one lifetime
of their
for their body.
Of their shells, yes.
Their shells. Now, that's an interesting word you use. Was that a word that you saw in the documentation?
That's how it was worded, according to our representatives, yes.
That's, okay.
That's how it was described.
What about names of military or presidents at the time in the documentation? Was there any clear names that you recall?
I remember reading Truman and Eisenhower, but no other names.
No one more recent than that.
No one more recent than that.
Your understanding is that Truman and Eisenhower did know about the aliens' visit.
Well, I saw evidence that they did know. I think that most presidents, if not all, from then on, do know. I don't know how much access they've had, but I think they know.
Sure. Was there anything that you read that at that time in the 1980s? That pertained to what then was in the future.
In other words, the year.
Oh, what was
up
coming?
2012.
Oh, what was coming? Yes. Talk about them. What was described as a mass landing in 2012 at the end of the year.
At the end of 2012.
Yeah.
A mass landing.
A mass landing.
And. That was a date that you read in the documentation. At that stage,
yes.
That was an identified date.
And was that going to be something that the aliens were telling the Americans was going to happen, or was that something that was being organized?
Well, they were telling them that it was going to happen regardless of whether they wanted to or not. That they were going to come and make themselves known.
And was there a reason why they were choosing that year?
I'm not sure. I think that year has been chosen for a long time. I just think there's a lot of civilizations that were on this planet, maybe still are, but some that were and are not anymore, that knew of that date and why it was so important.
So there's a sense of an inevitable future which we're rapidly approaching.
Yes.
And this is documented.
Yes.
And, right now, we're not very many years away from this.
No, we're not.
How does that make you think and feel, given the experiences that you have?
I welcome it because I don't think there's any animosity toward us. I think it's. I think what's going to be more disturbing is how the government handles it and decides to handle its citizens that maybe want to know more.
Do you have any observations or thoughts about how it's being handled at the moment. This is 2006.
Very poorly.
Very poorly. Yeah.
Very poorly.
Yeah. So, if you were in charge of a disclosure operation, how would you do this, given the information that you know?
If I had to start now, that's a tough job. I think it would have been started a long time ago. Mm. I think I would have publicized Roswell and not pulled that newspaper article and not pulled the reports off the radio. I would have let it continue, and I would have welcomed more qualified and you know, scientists and stuff to come in and talk about this, and so we could, you know, because it was observation at first until there was more communication, until we discovered beings and that recovered beings that were alive, because there's several crashes that were all mutilated and dead, of course. I mean,
but there were crashes in which there were survivors.
Yes, there was.
And and of the beings that didn't survive, there were autopsy reports.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. So you actually saw some autopsy reports?
Yes, I did. A few.
Do you remember what you read in those autopsy reports about their physiology and biology?
Well, I remember reading about their blood being chlorophyll-based and them not eating, ingesting as we do. They don't have stomachs. Don't have waste material that, like we do. They don't have a traditional human. They're like a cross between like a plant and an animal, and they gather their energy through absorbing minerals through their skin. And they use light for photosynthesis.
I'm just curious what your own personal experiences have been. Have you ever had any, let's say, visitations since you left the job, be they Men in Black and or alien visitations?
Nothing. Never ever seen a UFO in my life.
And I bet you wish you had.
I'm waiting. No sightings, no.
And no Men in Black,
no MIB,
no threats.
No nothing.
No nothing.
Well, I've never done any of this before, so.
Well, may that continue.
Conjured up in the last 2 or 3 months of talking with Mr. Ryan here.
All right, well, thank you very much for being so honest and coming forward so amazingly, forthrightly, and you know, we hope to hear more from you.
Well, you probably will, and it was my pleasure.
And this is a real service, so you're a brave man. Thank you.
You're welcome.